Today's fourth scripture comes from Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 and 2.
Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
The second verse is come from Hebrew chapter 4, verses 9 through 11.
There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter the rest, that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. The word of the Lord.
So last month, I received this incredible gift of an all-expenses-paid trip to Italy on a pilgrimage with these D.C. area pastors. This is a picture in a city called Taormina in Sicily. And for one whole week, I did not have to think about a single thing except when to wake up for breakfast. And as you can see, we ate really well. We toured ancient sites in Sicily and reflected on our spiritual lives. And over the 6 days of our time there, I actually forgot what day of the week it was. It was that restful and renewing. But I also know that this was a very unique experience that I will rarely get to have. You know, though we as a group enjoyed these benefits, much work was done behind the scenes. Both the ministry called the Ministry Collaborative that facilitated and funded this cohort for the past 4 years, and the tour agency who worked hard, they all worked hard to make sure we could relax and enjoy the trip as we did. We had two tour agency staff staying with us for the entire time. They took care of every minute detail, booking hotels and tour guides, booking restaurants and activities, and paying all the bills, even tips. I didn't have to pull out anything for the entire trip, except for my daily gelato. So for this 1 week of renewal together, many hours and dollars went on behind the scenes for it to make it happen. Now, in many ways, finding true rest can be like that. Finding rest and renewal requires a bit of planning and preparation. Now, it doesn't have to be so costly and extravagant like this unique trip I got to participate on. But in a world where we are constantly bombarded by our smartphone and our smartwatch notifications that keep us tethered to what we think are really, really important things, true rest is often elusive. Resting well takes some awareness, but also intentionality to get out of this notification inertia that we are on. And as Carol mentioned last week, Reverend Angie Garner reminded us of this importance of stewarding our rest. And a lot of that comes by simply just turning off our phones. And in today's message, we're going to continue our Stewarding Our Lives for Good message series by looking at this biblical idea of Sabbath and how it applies to our rest. So we're going to talk through this in three stages: find rest, enter rest, and strive for rest. Find rest, enter rest, and strive for rest. The American Psychological Association conducted a stress level survey in America. They do it, seems like, pretty regularly. And it says that 77% of Americans experience physical symptoms caused by stress, including headaches and fatigue. And almost the same percentage of Americans experience psychological symptoms of stress, such as irritability and anxiety. There's another study called the National Sleep Foundation that publishes a sleep health index. I didn't know people did that, but apparently there is. This 2020 index reports that over a third of Americans get less than 7 hours of sleep per night. And of the sleep we get, almost half of Americans report they're experiencing poor or low quality sleep. What does this all tell us? That Americans in general are overstressed, and underrested. Overstressed and underrested. I see a lot of heads nodding. Finding true rest in our modern setting is challenging, but thankfully we have wisdom that comes from ancient texts like Scripture. Our text comes from Hebrews chapter 4 today, and it begins with a statement of promise in verse 9. There, the writer of Hebrews says, describes a promise of Sabbath rest. There is a kind of rest that humans are all longing for, but do not fully yet experience in this life. But the people of God do have access to it. This kind of rest is built on the idea of Sabbath, defined by the creation narrative that Scott read for us from Genesis chapter 2. Now, it also shows up in the fourth commandment, in the Ten Commandments, where in Exodus chapter 20 says this, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." We find that this commandment to observe the Sabbath is rooted in God's own rest. Sabbath is meant to be a day set apart for rest and worship. And for the ancient Hebrew people, rest wasn't just addressing a physical or an emotional, psychological need. It was a theological one. You see, our human desire to find rest is at its core a theological desire. It is a desire for connection with the living God. And God demonstrates and commands Sabbath so that humans might connect with and enjoy life with God, the one for whom we are created. So this means that Sabbath involves resting. Resting from our labor, resting from our striving. But this is what our culture, these things are what our culture of email and notifications and calendar and social media all demand from us. And I don't know about you, but so I know some of you really don't like having your notifications not disappear off your screen, or you have to read all your new email. What's going to happen to your life if you don't clear them? Sabbath involves a deliberate ceasing of all activity, including even our notification activity, in order to recognize that our ultimate security and our ultimate provision and life comes from God, not from our own self-management efforts. Spiritual writer Marva Dawn says this, "Sabbath ceasing means not only ceasing from work itself, but also from the need to accomplish and be productive from the worry and tension that accompany our modern criterion of efficiency." See, what Dawn is doing is highlighting how our desire to be productive and fruitful and successful, none of us ever experienced that here in D.C., right? Not all these desires can itself take the place of God. See, when our lives are driven by fear or insecurity or worry or not having enough in our lives, these are warning signs that something else has possibly taken the place of the living God in our lives. So we find ourselves restless. Finding rest can be elusive. So one important aspect of Sabbath rest is simply to cease our routine activities for a time on a weekly basis. This is the rhythm that God gives us in Scripture. Now, some of us, we know we can't do a full day. Maybe start with a half day. If you can't do a half day, then start with a couple of hours. And if you're married or if you have housemates and you share responsibilities, then work it out together so that you can all enjoy Sabbath, or hopefully you can do Sabbath together. Sabbath can be practiced, you know, as Carol reminded us of Angie's message last week, with our smartphones. She challenged us to turn it off, and Carol challenged us to turn it off. And I'm telling you, that's really hard. When she asked us to turn off our phones last week, I don't even remember the last time I actually turned off my phone. How many of you actually remember? Not because you have to reboot it because you have a problem, or not turning off the reminders, but simply turning it off. How many of you can actually remember the last time you did it? Oh, one person. All right, thanks, Susie. Oh, yeah, because of the theater. Okay. Oh, yeah, that doesn't count, too. Okay. So it just shows us how hard it is to fight against this constant stream that pulls us along. It's challenging us. Because I know some of us were like, hey man, I can't turn off my phone at church. It's where my Bible is. I can't turn off my church. It's how I do my devotions because I have an app for that. And I was thinking, man, I can't turn off my phone. What if I need to text like Chris up on the balcony or Les on the sound system or Alex who's up with the kids? Like, I'm at work right now. I need it. And it's like, wait a second. I have legs. I have a mouth. I can walk and talk. Scriptures lay out a weekly rhythm for Sabbath rest to be practiced, not just annually, not just seasonally. And these are the benefits of moments of rest that we can, and if we can't do it weekly, you can even do it just during the day. And I know many of us feel like and want to look like we're being very productive by booking back-to-back meetings and Zoom calls, but pausing even just for 5 minutes between them to step away from your workstation at regular intervals is building a rhythm of finding rest in your lives. To find rest, we need to make room for rest, and that involves stepping away from our normal responsibilities and routines for a time each week. But here's the thing, Sabbath is more than just stopping and resting. Sabbath means stopping from our responsibilities and routines in order to spend time with God. It's stopping what we need normally do in order to spend time with God. Now, as Sabbath was created and commanded by God and demonstrated by God, it's intended to nurture our attentiveness to the living God. And Sabbath is not just about physical or mental rest. It's about spiritual renewal, as we sung this morning. Sabbath rest is intended to reconnect with God and this truth that it really is well with my soul, God. It doesn't feel like it. And the author who wrote that song, he lost his whole family when he wrote that song and saying, it is well, okay, because of something that he believed. Pastor and theologian Eugene Peterson says this, Sabbath is not primarily about us or about how it benefits us. It's about God and how God forms us. Sabbath is not about us and what we benefit from it. Although we do get benefits, it's primarily about God. It's about making space for God's forming work in our lives. And what's the point of God's work in our lives? To make us more faithful image bearers of God. The writer continues in the next verse, in verse 10, saying, enter God's rest means resting from their works, from our works. This is a specific reference to earlier in the chapter in verse 2 and 3, where he says, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us. Now we who have believed in that good news enter that rest just as God has said. So here's a question. Is this promise to enter rest, is it in the future or is it in the present? I think that the kind of Sabbath rest described here isn't so much a physical location. It's not a time in history. It's more of a present reality. It's a state of being grounded in the reality of the good news of Jesus. Entering Sabbath rest is more than a spiritual practice that we do. It's a spiritual reality to enter into. Entering Sabbath rest is not just a spiritual practice to do, it's a spiritual reality to enter into. Entering ultimate Sabbath rest flows from this belief that Jesus is a Savior and Lord. And that's why the writer says it's only available to those who have faith and obey Christ. In Christ, we find our ultimate Sabbath rest, where we cease from striving to earn our salvation and rest by trusting in the finished work of Jesus. In Christ, we are free from sin and toil for the purpose of defining our goodness and our happiness by our own efforts. The good news isn't that you're a pretty good person and you just need to live out your values with authenticity and integrity. That's not the good news. That's okay news. The good news of the gospel is that though you are actually far more evil than you actually believe yourself to be, in Christ, you are far more loved than you ever dared to hope for. That's the good news. And in Christ, we look forward to a time when all of creation will be renewed and ultimately at rest. In other words, entering true rest is grounded in being at rest with God through Jesus. Until Jesus arrived as the Messiah, the Jewish people grounded their right standing with God through their works, through their faithful adherence to the Torah. But that was and that is a temporary solution for righteousness before a holy and righteous God, because it was impossible to live that out perfectly. And by trusting in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we find that we can truly be at home with a holy God, because it is Christ's perfection that becomes ours, and it's credited to us as our righteousness. And for Bible nerds, this is known as the theological concept of imputed righteousness. You can Google that later. All you need to know right now is that the moment we place our lives in Jesus' hands and that we say, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sin to make me whole with God. And because of that, I am grateful, and you now are the leader of my life. Show me how to really live. The moment we say that, we have entered rest with God. We are at home with God because of Jesus' work, not because of our works. This is called the good news of Jesus. And as verse 3 says, now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So how does Sabbath rest through the gospel relate to our rhythm of rest today? Through the gospel, we have entered into this reality of being at rest with God. But this rest is something that we appropriate, that we take advantage of through our faithful practice of Sabbath rest in our lives. Brendan Manning, author of The Ragamuffin Gospel, says this: the reality of the gospel and the rest it offers is not just the rest from sin and guilt, but rest from oppressive expectations and demands we place on ourselves and on others. In Sabbath rest, the gospel sets us free from these impossible expectations. In other words, we move from the spiritual reality of Sabbath rest to experiencing that rest with God when we practice Sabbath regularly. When we practice Sabbath, we are saying yes to trusting God for God's provision. We are saying yes to freedom from oppressive expectations. We are saying yes to resting one day out of the 7 days of the week so that we can connect with God. And in doing so, by resting one day and not working 7 days, we can actually be more fruitful and be more successful in our lives. By practicing Sabbath, we are truly saying yes to the good news of Jesus. By practicing Sabbath regularly, we are saying yes to this, enjoying this life with Jesus that is made possible to us. And Sabbath rest is this spiritual practice that we enter into a deeper communion with God so that we can participate with God in the flourishing of all of creation. Brother Roger, who is the founder of the Tezeh spiritual community, says this: our rest in God is the starting point of all action. It is in the quietness of our hearts that we receive the strength to carry on. See, we often get things backwards. We think we come to God to find rest after we're all busy and stressed out. But Brother Roger is saying, rest in God is the beginning point of all the other action in your life. Sabbath rest is built on this good news of Jesus. We can enter into that rest through the doorway of faith in Christ. And it's only through Jesus that we have the capacity to enjoy God without shame, without guilt, and with true hope for ultimate rest in the new creation. Here's the thing, though. Even though that rest is freely offered to us, it's a gift of God's grace, it's available to us, this kind of rest often still is very elusive. How many of you believe that? In some ways, you could say it's a kind of rest that we actually have to strive for. So you're thinking, and it comes from verse 11. The writer says, let us make every effort to enter into that rest. And if you've been following along, it's like, well, Andrew, you just said that we can be resting from our works, and now you're saying now you have to strive to enter rest? What's going on with that? So here's the thing. Yes, Jesus offers rest from trying to please God with our moral performance. When we trust in Jesus, we are free from that. It's given to us. But entering into that promise of rest that Jesus offers requires intentionality. It requires planning. It requires practice on our part, because it's not natural for us. Our own sin and our doubt in God's goodness always creeps in, thinking we can do a better job managing our lives than trusting God. And so we are tempted to find rest on our own terms. So what does striving for rest actually look like? Well, we've already mentioned some of the intentionality required by setting apart a day of the week, putting away your phones, ceasing from your routine responsibilities. And if you want to dive more into this practice of Sabbath, I invite you to go to our Sabbath practice series available at wcfchurch.org/Sabbath. And you can go there. There's a series of four messages that unpacks this even more. But I just want to share two examples with you. Last week, I sat down for lunch with Phil Wenger. He's one of our members here, served in leadership. And we talked about this new season of life that he finds himself in. He recently retired from a long and illustrious career over the past 30 years working for the White House. And in his role there, he has overseen the implementation of technology solutions for the Office of Management and Budget. Yeah, to help White House staff get access to the information that they need in a relevant and timely manner. So on his last day, since his last day at work, though, he's been able to enjoy longer trips with his wife, Gail, going to visit family and friends. He's enjoyed going out birding and being on the water with his kayak, things that that are life-giving to him. And he's really enjoying not being on call 24/7 and being at the beck and call of his calendar and his notifications. But Phil, he's still pretty healthy. He wants to continue to use his leadership gifts in his profession and also to serve in the church. In fact, he's had colleagues already call him up. Hey, can you help us out with some work? And as we chatted, though, Phil told me about his plans for the rest of this calendar year. And he said, though he's available, he's capable, he's got time, he's not making any new commitments and allowing space to engage in spiritual practices more regularly for himself. He's reading the scripture from front to back. He's spending more time with God in prayer. And in some ways, he's seeing this time as a sabbatical to dive into Sabbath rest with God so that he can be primed for the next season of his life. During this time, he is being intentional in not taking on new responsibilities and commitments, and he's being intentional about being attentive to the voice of Jesus without the noise and the demands of his professional commitments. He's hoping to steward the season of rest well so that he can be at home with Jesus in new ways. And he says this, I'm taking time to rest and to learn to listen to listen to God and walk with God during this new phase of my life. I'd love to hear a clear direction from God for this next phase, but want to be content with just learning to listen to him. As we shared a meal together and talked about his plans, and I talked about my own plans for a sabbatical that will begin in September. And just to let you know, I am coming back after the sabbatical, okay?
Yes.
Okay. For the first time since I've started pastoring 20 years ago, I'm taking a planned sabbatical for 6 months. And I must admit, it's actually going to be really weird. If you know me, I'm a pretty active person. I like challenges. I like mental stimulation, and you all offer me lots of that, okay? while I'm looking to not looking forward to not doing all these pastor things for a season, it's actually kind of scary to think about what I'm going to do with my time, not having sermon prep, not having meetings, not having events, not having people to meet with. And so as a pastor, it can be really tempting for my relationship with God to be mediated through my professional responsibilities. But I know that's not healthy in the long run. And so I'm hoping the sabbatical to find some new rhythms for myself. And especially, I just really, like Phil said, I just really want to hear the voice of Jesus in new ways. And particularly in light of the two huge traumas that our family experienced this past year. The death by suicide of our son, Evan, and death by suicide of our good friend's daughter. They're both a year apart. They were a year apart, but they happened 2 months apart. So those two events have really changed my relationship with God and my work as a pastor. And so planning for, and so it's not that I don't believe in God anymore. I don't want to be a pastor anymore. It's just finding new ways of relating to God and finding strength for the next season of ministry. But planning for a 6-month sabbatical isn't just looking forward to not doing these things for a season. I also have to make plans to do something and to spend time with God in different ways. So I'm going to do some regular spiritual retreats, and my plan is to do a solo pilgrimage and lean into some spiritual practices. We've also made plans to travel together as a family. So we'll spend a few weeks in Asia visiting family and friends there, and then we'll spend Christmas in Vancouver with our families, which is the first time we'll be doing that in like 6 years. Now, all of this, as you can tell, involves a bit of travel and logistical planning. And as a proud deal finder and a DIY guy, I find that striving for rest for this sabbatical has also opened up for me this idea that, I might actually have to pay for some services so that I can take the stress off myself as much as I like to do it myself. This recent trip to Italy actually helped me to see that, there is a benefit. Especially when you don't have to pay for it, it's really nice. But we're going to still have to pay for it. So you can pray for me, because this is a big stretch. And one practical way for me to have wisdom in how to strive for rest well over the six months. Now, I share all that with you, knowing that Phil's retirement, my sabbatical, these aren't regular weekly Sabbath practices. But I share them with you to demonstrate how a Sabbath or a sabbatical requires a degree of intentionality and discernment and planning so that we can let go of routines and responsibilities and so that we can lean in to God and our time with God more. It means stopping. It means coming away with Jesus. But it also means striving for rest through practices that nurture our soul and our relationship with God and with those that we love. I wonder, what might Jesus be inviting you to let go of for a time, whether on a weekly basis or during a season? What practices might Jesus be inviting you to lean into so that you can enter into that Sabbath rest that Jesus has gifted to you? And as you do so, may you not only find rest from weariness and stress, but may you find the one for whom our hearts truly long for, the living God. Amen.